This is Internet Report's bi-weekly Pulse Update, where we keep our finger on the pulse of how the internet is holding up week over week, exploring the latest outage numbers, highlighting a few interesting outages, trends, traits, and general health of the internet. Today, we're welcoming the new year by discussing how resilient application architectures, clouds, and networks are changing the old ways of thinking, for taking a look through an outage that disrupted Spotify's music streaming. And to do that, this week I'm joined by my friend and colleague, Brian Tobia. G'day, Brian. Happy New Year to you. How have you been?
I'm good, Mike. How are you?
I'm very good, mate. I'm very good. It's the sun's shining and the day's about to start. We're all ready to go.
Awesome.
So before we get started, in terms of housekeeping, we'd love for you to hit like and subscribe so you too can keep your finger on the pulse of the internet each week. And if you have any questions or ideas for the show, please reach out to us at any time at internetreport@thousandeyes.com, and we'll be happy to potentially address your questions in future episodes. So let's dive in. And before we get started on the actual outages, I want to actually take a look at the numbers for this week. All right, Brian. So I spend an awful lot of time looking at these numbers week over week, and yet it still amazes me how seasonal they actually are. But as we sort of see, as I said, coming out of the Thanksgiving weekend where we had this Thanksgiving holiday week, where we had this drop in numbers there, we started to come up, it's almost this ramp up into the holiday period from there. So we sort of reached this peak around early December, and then we sort of came down really nicely into that period. And I say nicely in terms of the outage numbers dropped. And when we're actually looking at these outage numbers, what we actually started to see, and there's fairly big percentage drop. What does it actually sort of say to you? What does it speak to you when you actually look at this?
Yeah, I think it's pretty interesting. I mean, one thing is, I think we've seen a lot, you know, folks trying to take some downtime during the holidays, not do as many change windows. But based on the numbers and what you're seeing, I think we're still seeing the changes happening, as you said, after hours. So maybe not during the day that people are taking time off, but we're still seeing these changes happening. And then also, you know, outages occurring because of that. I think that's a continual cycle now, especially with the way we've changed development practices. I think we still see a lot of those as the code changes get pushed out. You know, I think it really follows along that.
Yeah, that's actually really interesting. Yeah, and I like that. The thing, and we'll go into that. I want to hold that thought and pin a bit there, because I want to go sort of dive back into a minute there. But one of the other interesting things is that if we look at that week between the December 19th, 25th into the week before that, we had a drop in numbers. So where we're actually looking at that main period, the North American numbers there, so that's the orange line, the line at the bottom there, jumped up. So this bucked the trend. So that kind of goes, you know, a little bit, or a question I want to sort of delve into is, in why do we actually sort of have that increase from there? If you think there wasn't anything sort of major, you know, we weren't all called back from the holidays. We weren't said hands on deck to actually sort of look and see there was a major outage there. So there was this major disruption happening, but we sort of saw this jump occur as we sort of get into that period there.
Yeah, and I think it's pretty interesting too, like you were saying, because I think even now there's more pressure to keep up with these updates. So even though we would like to think that we have some time off during the holidays, I mean, I think there's still that pressure, and especially now wanting to push those changes maybe when others aren't working. You know, IT teams are feeling that pressure of having to take advantage of the windows where, you know, now people are taking off, but now they have to kind of cram in what they normally do during change windows onto, you know, everywhere they can, based off of, you know, when people aren't using the apps.
Exactly. As I said, that's interesting. And we're going to sort of jump into the diverging fortunes of those tech teams this time of the year. You know, who has to work, who doesn't have to work, what they're doing there. So with that, we're going to go under the hood and take a little bit deeper look at these figures. So some teams have been under strict orders to do less by the way of code freezes, wanting to avoid interruptions going from there. And when we talk about a code freeze, what we're actually talking about is this situation where the engineering team or the development team are told not to make any changes to an application, because during this critical period, it may be in this time where we're having sort of a downtime, or where we don't want people to, or it could be a critical time where something happens. So down here in Australia, we have this situation, we have a large horse race. I think we have a public holiday for a horse race, but we have this horse race down here, and there's a code freeze for a month before for the betting agencies around there, because during this period of time, they're talking in the concept of billions of dollars going on this race. They don't want this, they don't want to have any interruptions during that time. So some sort of glitch can happen. And the theory behind it isn't that if it ain't broke, don't fix it, change from there. But if we don't make any enhancements, we can't introduce any issues into that system there. Obviously, if an issue does occur, then they'll be on board to actually make that fix. But the idea is actually just keep things running as they were. And this has become more and more critical because there's more and more moving parts to that scenario going on from there. We also have on the other side of that situation where we have engineering teams who use this period to make changes to a system. This tends to be more internal customer-facing enterprise customers. I had this situation going back years and years and years and years ago, where I was in Europe there. This period was the time we could actually make the changes. Now, the big difference in that was that when we were occurring in that period of time, when I was looking at that situation there, was that all that network was owned by us. So it was multiple governments who had sort of different parts of the network to actually control or look after. But they were all we were dealing with was sort of T1s, E1s, FDDI, ATM. I'm really dating myself here, but these very old technologies. Oh, I don't like to use the word legacy because otherwise that means I'm legacy as well. But these old technology around from there. But the point of those were that we owned and controlled those. We owned the infrastructure, we controlled the infrastructure. Yes, we leased circuits from the various providers, but we had that control across those systems, which meant that we could change that. The thing that's changed is not just that we're getting sort of more software focused, but we're also now relying on the internet. So there's these multiple different dependencies out from there. So if I have a change to that, I could have a sort of a domino effect. So typically we start to see these changes sort of not occurring from there. But if I now go and look at the figures that we had, so what I've done here is I've actually taken from 2020, 2021, 2022. And these are looking at October, November, and December coming through from there. We can see that beautiful distinctive pattern as we sort of drop away to that holiday period. But the big difference if I actually look at these is I get this changing situation where I have coming out from 2020 to 2021, I see a rise in the outage numbers. Same distinctive downward slope pattern, but I see a jump in the numbers coming up from there to 2021. Now, what's different then as we go to 2022, which is what we want to talk about here, is I see the outage in terms of total outage numbers drop. But what's actually occurring there is then I'm still seeing that same pattern from there, but I'm seeing less outages. But then also, if I start to look at those outages in terms of when they occurred, time of day, as well as the frequency that they're actually sort of occurring out there, I can actually start to see that they happen more frequently. So I have less outages happening more frequently. And then if I look at the time of day, they're happening during the sort of the we'll call it the business week, although within this holiday period with the business week around from there. Now, what we're looking at really is that we're seeing, and you mentioned this when we're talking about the numbers come from there, is that we're getting less, or it appears that we're starting to move this period where we're less concerned about making a change during what would be a normal time. And it's because we're forced to, because it comes from there.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because you mentioned it's the reliance on other providers. So it's not so much now that I just control everything in my own four walls. Now it's that other people are relying on me or I'm relying on other providers so that there's not really that good window anymore where everybody's shut down because we all run on different timetables, other external dependencies happen. So yeah, it's really now there's no good time to do a change. So we just bulk them up like we're seeing here in your numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it's the other thing, and you just trigger something in my mind there as well, is that when we're looking and we're seeing this over the year or the years we're doing this a while, we start to see is that if I'm looking at some providers where they have these interdependencies coming across from there, they'll make a change. Yes, the old butterfly flapping in its wings in one part of the world causes a tsunami in the other part. I'm seeing less of that starting to come. It's almost like we're getting to get more controlled in what we're doing it. So they're becoming more bullish, as it were, in being able to actually make these changes and not have an effect. You know, quite often down here in this part of the world, we rely on a lot of sort of North American ISPs. They have the domain control in terms of the big transit or the tier one providers down from there. Because of the way their systems are architected, they'll make a change, it can have a flow on effect down here. That change being made out of hours. Up in the northern hemisphere, it's right slap bang in the middle of our hours, business hours in the other ones there. So it comes to that. But yeah, it's a really interesting point. But I said we're starting to get them shrinking down to come across from that period in terms of it's almost like they're able to control it a little bit more. And I thought it was really interesting. Would say the frequency one was the one that really interested me here. and that we had less outages but occurring more often. All right, as fascinating as numbers are, fascinating to me anyway, and I could talk about them all day, and I would do, but I realise we actually want to get on and start to really sort of see into one of these outages. The outage we want to talk about now, and to quote Don McLean from American Pie, something touched me deep inside the day the music died. All right, so it wasn't actually that dramatic, but I couldn't find any song lyrics that actually talked about the day my streaming services became interrupted around from there, or it just didn't rhyme. It wasn't actually where to do from there. But I actually do remember exactly where I was when this outage occurred. So it was January the 14th down here, January the 13th in Northern Hemisphere. Spotify experienced an outage. I know where I was because I wasn't studying status pages. I wasn't sitting in front of the terminal looking at what was going on from there, looking at a status page. I was actually out on the golf course. I was in my backswing and my watch started to tell me that internet insights were starting to see from these. And again, from a frequency perspective, I could actually see there was something wrong. I actually then just sort of checked the streaming surface, much to the great annoyance of my playing partners. And I could see it was intermittent. And the reason I mention that is not just to indulge, but it's actually kind of important because the way the application was manifesting as an outage point of view is that I could actually get, I couldn't get to streaming. So anything that was cached, I could actually listen to. Anything that wasn't cached, and it seemed to be some podcasts that I could actually get through as well, which I hadn't actually cached, but some of them I could get through. Anything I tried to stream sort of down from there, it just couldn't get on. If I logged off Spotify, then also couldn't get back onto that system. So it was really quite interesting sort of going through from there. So with that, I'll stop rambling on and let's take a look at see what this looks like.
As you were saying, we're looking here at a view of Internet Insight. So this is what pinged on your watch there. But we're we're seeing a view of exactly that. So Internet Insights is great because it's going to tell us from a global vantage point what we're seeing and where we're seeing traffic loss from or HTTP errors. So in this case, it was like the network was up, but we were seeing responses weren't coming through. So this is a great quick overview. So it's going to show you on the right, we've got Spotify here. We have 13 affected servers across the different tests that we're seeing, and this came from everywhere. So correlated to what you were seeing, some of the US as well. I didn't happen to be listening to Spotify at the time, but I think I would have had some trouble at that point. So this is a great view to kind of understand, where the traffic is coming from and what kind of outages we're actually seeing.
Yeah, this is interesting. So there's a couple of things I like to pick out from these is that, one, and I got it from the frequency that was occurring there. As I said, it was actually my watch was going mental, but also had this, we can see this is global and we start to infer this is an application issue because we're looking on servers, we can see what's happening from there. So, and the reason I'm saying that is if we're looking at network type thing, the one thing I always say is if this was a network related issue from there, then it would, we'd be looking potentially at, as I'm talking about the provider side of things, I would actually see specific regions impacted, but here I'm seeing a global impact coming from there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a great time to transition to kind of our next view. And I think this talks to exactly what you're saying is it's one thing to monitor from a network standpoint, is it localized to an ISP or a transit provider? But another thing is being able to test kind of the full stack. So just, not just testing the network, a simple ping test, but going all the way up through page load and HTTP and the different phases we have, because then you're able to see, the network was available, but to your point, we actually have an outage on the application itself. So no matter where I was trying to come from, whether it was backend errors or, 403s, whatever the case is, we were now seeing errors across that, across the spectrum. So I think that's a cool view to be able to see.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this is another share link we have, and this is looking kind of at the start of the outage. So if we look on our time graph here, you can see kind of, on the 14th here, kind of normal operation, and then you'll see the spike, and we're looking at page load time right now. So you can see this is kind of a baseline page load that we've had, over the time period, and then around, if we scroll over here, around 1240 UTC is kind of when we saw, started seeing those spikes coming up. And you can see now from the map below, what we're seeing from the different agent locations. So again, this was more on the global side. And then if I take a look at the table, which is going to actually list out some of the different agents we tested from. So an agent being in a specific geographic region or hanging off a certain ISP. And now you can really see those page load times starting to increase. And so that was, you know, a situation where, again, you were trying to use the application and maybe you're receiving, 503 errors back. It was one of them that we were seeing. So I think this then really shows you how where we're starting to get with the errors and where things kind of fell down.
Yeah, so there's again a couple of points in there. Is that so there's two things you mentioned? So the 503s and the 403. So 503 is a unavailable service or service unavailable or unreachable side of it. That's a server side message. So I have reached the end and I've got a response coming back. So I can see at that point no network's been harmed in the making of this outage. And then the other one is that the 401, an authorized message. Yeah. So they can meet with as a couple of these. But that's a client side or side of things. But again, I've had to have a response to say me the credentials you told me or what you're trying to do isn't there. It's also an unavailable when it actually comes down to it. But yeah.
Yeah, and it's really interesting to look at from that perspective too. And yeah, so I think, and that's, you know, that's kind of when we started to see the problems happening. And then another, so then if I flip over to our other link here, and this is actually kind of in the middle of things. And what's cool in this view is so that the purple line along this timeline, this is when Mike's watch went off, is when we had the app outage going on. So we actually identify in the UI, we'll tell you, we saw an app outage of Spotify, and it helps you correlate. It's really easy. So you can say, if you had some users calling up saying, I can't get Spotify or whatever application, you can correlate that back with this. And then, again, you can look at the different elements here. So if I go to table view again, we can see, this had, a lot of those page load errors that we were seeing before. And we can even look through some of the different tests, too. So if we look at, like, HTTP, we can actually see those errors that we were talking about before. So, and I'll click on table view here. But this is, here are those, 500 errors we're even seeing now. So internal service errors. So, as Mike said, clearly not the network in this case, right? Definitely more on the application side. And I think this is, really important to be able to monitor your providers, right? So if you're reliant on another service, like we saw, I think another interesting one, we saw outages last year, on a Google search or Google Maps, where you actually rely on other pieces. So maybe you as a website, maybe you embed Spotify, or you use some sort of application that's hosted somewhere else, and you want to understand what's happening. Well, this is a great example of it, right? So I'm seeing application errors and maybe I can't get to that app and I want to know why. Well, this is a great way to kind of understand and unpack where I'm actually seeing those errors coming from, what errors I'm getting back.
Yeah, that's really interesting and really important, actually. As I said, we're always talking about dependencies, and this is a real life example. So in this case, it was one application. That's your point. And you mentioned the one with the Google search. We've also had some in the past where it's been a payment system. So that's a third-party payment system, make an API call. The application still doesn't work, although it, for all intents and purposes, it's functional. One other thing I want to call back to here is that the status page during this time, so there's an API status page for Spotify, was actually showing a partial error, but it gave me no information. From here, I suddenly said, okay, yeah, all right, I now know what's going on. My service is unavailable. I can see what from there. So it sort of brings that information together to be able to see what's happening.
Yeah, and I think it also highlights the point of kind of independent testing, right? Outside of, status pages are great. Like, we trust our providers and to give us information, but you need to do it yourself too, right? You need to monitor things. Same as you would in the physical world. When we had data centers and we had our own applications, we would implement monitoring to make sure those are up and running. So that hasn't changed, right? We still need to monitor that. It's still on us as well to have those monitoring points in place. So to your point about, the status page isn't the only source of truth. I need to have an independent way of monitoring that. And I think this definitely underscores that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thanks, Brian. I found that really interesting to be able to sort of dive down to there, and exactly what we could see come from there was really quite fascinating. So that's our show. Don't forget to hit subscribe and follow us on Twitter. As always, if you have questions, feedback, good, bad, ugly, general abuse, or guests you'd like to see us featured on the show, please just send us a note at internetreport@thousandeyes.com. That's also where new subscribers can claim a free t-shirt. Just send us your address, t-shirt size, and we'll get that right over to you. So once again, thanks, Brian. It's actually been an absolute pleasure, and I look forward to having you on again.
Thanks, Mike.